Listen again for a word from God for you. From John chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Friends, this again is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. She's worked on this, and so I want to kind of give you the, try and set the moment for Angie and her work. And to tie in this text, and to think about it in two ways. Think about the Word and the way. John says Jesus is the Word. Jesus also says, I am the way. So how do you put Word and way together? And to do that, I want to give you an update on Kayla's dogs that are with us and how we have worked with them. And I have to tell you, it's been a challenge because they, and for them as well, they came from the Moroccan desert and came to our neighborhood, which has a lot of dogs and grass, which apparently dry grass and wet grass are very different. And so it's been a couple of months of us learning and training and them training and also learning words. So, and with these dogs, Aji, which it's all about the pronunciation because my low voice didn't get the response that Kayla did, but Aji is derision for come or go. So Aji, you know. So I learned that. That's the word. Gliss is sit. That's a good one. Squit is be quiet if they're barking. And for stay, we say stay. I mean, I don't know why, but it just, that's the word we use for stay. So there's the word, but there's also the way. And all, teaching the words and me learning the words really had little effect, but walking with them, I've lost 15 pounds walking twice a day for an hour with the dog. Because that way, I could think about it all I wanted to, but getting out there and walking with them has been quite the learning experience. And I tell you, it's because the language just wasn't doing it. Even their barks, Tucker, the white of the two dogs, says will growl if you get too close. And once I learned this, it became sort of like our trick. You know, other dogs fetch. Tucker, if I get close to her face, she will bark at me and then bite, but stop right there. And once you learn she's going to stop right there and trust that she will every time, that sort of became my trick for people over the house. Hey, watch this. I'll get there. Oh! I know, that's just fun for me. So her growl of stay away from me and her growl, so it's sort of like if she were to say don't and stop, it sounds the same as don't stop. And one means stay away from me, one means keep going. You learn that. But learning how to communicate on the way and on the walk has been the real challenge. Because for them, they are, what I have learned, is sight hunters. And every dog they see, they don't have a lot of dogs in Morocco. So every dog they see that's not in our pack is a potential threat. And they would lunge like they're going to attack. And people in the suburban neighborhood will go, that's okay, my dog's friendly. Mine are not. And the problem with them is when they get that tension built up, they will then, if they can't go at somebody else, they will go at each other. They don't attack me, but they will attack each other. And so a couple of times now, I got on the trail, there was somebody came in by, the dogs went at each other, I held on to them, and then they went, well, fine. One time in the house, they went at each other, and I can't let my daughter's dogs fight. If they were your dogs, I'd be fine. Go ahead. But my dogs, so I actually kicked the double doors open, put one on one side of the couch and the other, and just held them there. That was cool, except I broke my toe kicking the doors open. But in all this walking in the way, we have finally gotten to a place. Now, it may be different this afternoon, but this morning when Carrie and I went out and walked the dogs, I was walking, and we've trained Finn to walk right beside me. with a collar and the communication, and I can call her name now, and she hears me. Even in a tense situation, she will hear me call her name most of the time. And she'll look at me, and we were walking today, and I realized that she was pacing me in perfect cadence. Her right foot, my right foot, and her left front paw, although it was two steps for her, were in exact cadence with me. Now that moment in time of walking in step was a beautiful moment. And you see, I think that what you're going to hear about the Holy Spirit, I want you to pay attention, because there is the word in Angie's sermon. There's also the way. And people today, when we're not walking in step, we are afraid, we are anxious, and we will turn on strangers, and we will turn on each other in a dog-eat-dog world. The image of hell, which I don't think is just the afterlife, is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you're in step, you're at peace. And I can tell that from Finn, because now if we're in step, and a dog comes out and does something, she'll go, look, I haven't been in the United States long, but I don't know, is that Pluto or Goofy? Doesn't phase her, because we're in step. And that's that Holy Spirit. So, Angie, I hope that through our time together, I've helped make a moment for you and set a place. So please, come and share the word with us today.
Y'all, I am so excited to be here. This has been a work in progress, and it's something that I think the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart for a very long time, and I finally got the courage to ask David if it'd be okay if I gave a message. And with his help and support, David, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to thank my family for sitting back there and hoping I don't goof up. All right, as I share with you my topic this morning, some of it's going to be a little academic, some of it's going to be stories. So we're going to get to the academic part first, because I'm a teacher and I like my academics. As I share with you my topic this and stories this morning, I know that I'm being led to do so. Part of John 14:10 has Jesus saying the following: "What I say to you, I do not speak of my own accord. It is the Father living in me who is doing his works." I've prayed in earnest about this opportunity, and I'm grateful to spend a few moments sharing what's been laid on my heart. I thank God for his guidance and convictions during the process of preparing for today. I am blessed beyond measure. All right, I was visiting in Colorado in early April of this year when a spring snowstorm came. Nothing changes faster than mountain weather. While watching the snowstorm swirl outside my patio door, I thought about the tender new buds on the trees and shrubs I'd seen earlier in the week when the temperature was 77 degrees. Would the tender new vegetation withstand the 40-plus degree drop in temperature? Only after the storm passed and I had an opportunity to inspect the vegetation would I know for sure. The only thing I could do was wait and wonder. Could this illustration be a metaphor for our own lives? How do we manage when we go suddenly from a bright, sunny, blue sky day to a cloudy, cold, swirling upheaval? Sometimes within the span of hours. God never meant for us to handle our snowstorms alone. As Christians, we have the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ to guide us through our winter of despair and to rejoice with us in a season of joy. And it's the topic of the Holy Spirit that I'd like to talk about this morning. All right, for many of us, we grew up referencing the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. As a child, the Holy Ghost seemed to be mysterious and elusive. At times, visions of Casper, the friendly ghost, filled my head. Other times, spooky apparitions running wild in my head got the better of me. As we all know, children are very imaginative. using our imagination, it was easy to put a face on God the Father and Jesus the Son. After all, many famous paintings like Michelangelo's masterpiece on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel depicting the creation of Adam, or Warner Solomon's 1940 portrait of Jesus called the Head of Christ, had worked their way into picture books and onto Sunday school posters. But how do you put a face on a ghost or a spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? Well, let's take a look at a couple of things. First, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a he. In speaking to his disciples, Jesus said in John 16, 7, "Still, I am telling you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going, because unless I go, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The word Paraclete comes from the Greek word parakletos, which is a synonym for Holy Spirit. Parakletos is neuter in gender. It's well known that the New Testament was written in Greek. Conversely, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for wind or breath or spirit is ruach. Ruach is a feminine word in Hebrew. So, from a Hebrew point of view, one could say we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Mother Spirit. Another synonym for the Holy Spirit is Comforter. And after all, we picture a Comforter as a loving and compassionate person. But for the sermon, we're going to refer to the Holy Spirit as a he. As a person, we see from the Bible that the Holy Spirit has intellect, emotions, and will. These are definitely attributes of a real person. Some examples of these attributes include speaking, as expressed in John's letter to the church in Ephesus, interceding, leading us, and guiding. Second, the Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is also God himself. He's eternal, all-powerful, omnipresent or everywhere, omniscient or all-knowing. He's also the creator, as told to us by the creation story in Genesis. So how do we relate to the Holy Spirit? What is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Let me share with you a couple of stories from my own personal experience. And these stories really get me excited because it's just, they were phenomenal at the time they happened. And these stories have helped shape me as a Christian and as a person for the rest of my life. These two stories highlight the attributes of leading and speaking and guiding. These two experiences with the Comforter had a profound impact upon me at the time they occurred and still do today. They are a testament to the Comforter being actively involved, not only in a stormy part of my life, but also in a very joyous time. The first story deals with the deaths of both my Papa Jack and my Aunt Irene, which occurred in December, and I believe it was 2004. Both my relatives were ill with cancer, and they were on opposite sides of the family. My Papa Jack was on my dad's side, and my Aunt Irene was on my mother's side. They were both ill at the same time with cancer. My Aunt Irene passed away first on December 22nd. Due to it being the Christmas holidays, her funeral was postponed until the week after Christmas. At the same time, my Papa Jack was at home under hospice care. It was a difficult week, to say the least. This was definitely an emotional swirling snowstorm for me and my family members. The day came to attend Aunt Irene's funeral. And as we were getting ready to go, my sister and I got a call saying that my Papa Jack, a call from hospice, saying that my Papa Jack had taken a turn for the worse and needed to go to a hospice facility immediately. So having to forego my Aunt Irene's funeral, my sister and I left immediately to be by his side. We were his only family left in town. After arriving at the facility, he was made comfortable and we stayed with him. We had the opportunity to say our goodbyes at that time, which was awesome. We had a chance to talk with him because we were always told that hearing is the last thing to go. So we were actually able to have a good conversation with him, even though he really couldn't speak back. On the second night there, we were told to go home and go to sleep. Later that night, in the middle of the night, we received a call to come back. Papa Jack had passed away peacefully in his sleep. As a result, we had now lost two family members within the span of a week. Papa's burial arrangements were then attended to and everything was in order, or so we thought. The night before the graveside service, we got a call from the officiating minister. He had the flu and wouldn't be able to perform the service. The flu had taken hold in the small community. After all, this was December and it was cold and the flu and everything was raging. Everyone we contacted that night had the flu, and the service was the next morning. Sitting there in the kitchen with my sister, a feeling of calmness came over me. Somewhere in my soul, I knew I was being called to conduct the graveside service. I knew it was the Holy Spirit because of the deep feeling I had. Plus, he was definitely leading me into an area that I had absolutely no experience. The Holy Spirit does things like that when we least expect it. Me conduct a service? Please, God, there has to be somebody else. But no matter how I questioned and protested, I had this unshakable sense that this was the right thing to do. After talking to my family, they agreed. So I retreated into a bedroom and prayed for guidance on what to say. I wanted to be led. I wanted to be a mouthpiece for God's words. Because of my willingness to listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit, the graveside service went smoothly. The Comforter not only filled my heart with the words he wanted said, but he was with me during the process. I felt a calm sensation come over me as I spoke of Papa, of life, of death, and of God's love. I felt at peace. Now, my next story does not come from a place of sorrow. It comes from a place of pure joy and love. It illustrates how the Holy Spirit can interact with us as he feels necessary and in ways we least expect. It was a beautiful sunny day evening in early June of 1995, and I decided to take a walk with our six-month-old daughter, Michelle. It was a peaceful time strolling through the neighborhood. The flowers were blooming in the yards, and I loved looking down on her precious little head as it was turning from side to side, looking at the flowers and listening to the wind chimes and the dog's bark and just catching the sights. Suddenly, I became just totally overwhelmed with emotion. I looked down at the stroller and said to myself, "No matter what you do in the future, good or bad, I don't think I could love you any more than I do at this moment." Little did I know, this moment would stay with me through those tumultuous teenagers. Thank God. The next thing that happened to me stopped me dead in my tracks. I heard a voice. You heard me correctly. I heard a voice, and that voice said to me, "That is how much I love you. That is how much I love you." I quickly looked over my shoulder, thinking it was my husband catching up to us on the walk, and spoke to me. But it wasn't. I was alone with Michelle, standing at the side of a street in our neighborhood. Then I realized that I had heard the voice of God speaking to me directly. I broke out into chills and started crying. I was so shaken up to think that regardless of my own sins and shortcomings, I was loved. I was loved by the Almighty just the way I was at that moment. God had used that tender moment between a mother and a child to communicate to me through the Holy Spirit that I was loved and important. Now, my dear friends, you are loved by God now, just as you are. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father, is sent by the Son, to be received by us, the children of God. What a wonderful thing. We're not alone. We are not alone. We are secure in the knowledge that we belong to Jesus. Whether your moment is filled with a snowstorm or is a peaceful, joyous time, the Comforter is ready to interact with you in ways most unexpected. Keep your heart and mind open. Listen. Believe. That's it. Thank you.
Oops.
So, mark this date on your calendar. A Presbyterian stood up and said publicly that God spoke to her. The good news of the gospel is this: there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. So just breathe and receive. Let us pray. As we come to this table, we give you thanks that it is a symbol of your continuing love for us. At baptism, we hear we are your beloved children, and then at this table, you tell us there is nothing you wouldn't do to cross the distance that separates you from us. So God, help us to receive that love and to know there's nothing we can do to make you love us more. And in your presence, give us that peace that passes all our understanding. In Christ's name, amen.